This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you to the 33rd episode of The New World next week. Massive amounts of news to go over, and we're going to get right into it. Our first story, neocons claim Osama is a guest of Iranian government. From Kurt Nimmo, it's an urban, or in this case, rural myth that refuses to die. Osama bin Laden is alive and living under the protection of our most dreaded enemy, or one of them anyway, Iran. Quoting from UPI, Osama bin Laden and his top aides are hiding in a mountainous town in northeastern Iran, and Turkey knows it, intelligence sources said Tuesday. Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan is aware that bin Laden, his chief lieutenant al-Zawahiri, and five other high-ranking al-Qaeda leaders have been living under Tehran's protection for the past 5 years, military intelligence website Debka File reports. Ah, a sterling source. Debka File, the Jerusalem-based English-language Israeli open-source military intel website. Debka File, basically propaganda outfit tailored to the demented worldview of American neocons, according to investigative reporter Ronan Bergman. This also serves the propaganda agenda of perpetually warmongering Likudites in Israel who are connected at the hip with American neocons. Both incessantly call for killing grandmothers and grade school kids in some fantastic bombing campaign against Iran. And this seems to be, James, the ratcheting up of the warmongering against Iran. We've seen it build up and die down again and again and again over the last several years, haven't we?
We sure have, and along comes this story to conveniently place the boogeyman that everyone loves to hate right in the middle of our greatest enemy at the moment. Oh, wonder how that happens. And Debka File, I wonder how they managed to track down the world's most difficult to track down man.
So at the bottom of this first article, they reference, of course, a round of new sanctions. So let's make that our second story, my friends. Jumping to the Big Brother Corporation, BBC, Iran faces most significant UN nuclear sanctions. Iran faces its toughest sanctions for failing to comply with UN demands over its nuclear enrichment, the U.S. says. The Security Council set to vote on a fourth round of sanctions to tighten financial curbs on Iran while expanding limited arms embargo. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said they were, quote, the most significant sanctions that Iran has ever faced, end quote. But Iran's president warned his country would not agree to nuclear talks if the sanctions were imposed. Ahmadinejad also said that a nuclear fuel swap deal brokered by Turkey and Brazil was an offer that would not be repeated. James, is this more of the same?
It certainly sounds like it, doesn't it? Yeah, it's just nothing particularly new and startling about this development, and I guess it's no surprise after what we saw coming out of Bilderberg this year.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Now, a lot of these stories have, of course, extra supplemental contextual things that tie in, so I feel, must mention the thought police crucifixion of Helen Thomas. In another example of how one-sided the American media is in framing the issue of Israel, veteran journalist and opinion columnist Helen Thomas has been chased into retirement because of some remarks she gave when questioned on the street by a blogger. Basically, she said, tell them to get the hell out of Palestine. Tell them to go to Germany or Poland or America or anywhere else. It's worth noting she did not say, those Jews need to get out of there. The blogger, the interview, interjected that, and that, of course, has now shaped the whole debate. And Helen Thomas, just the latest victim of touching that geopolitical third rail, the I word. James?
Yes, that's right, exactly. And again, it's interesting how this comes out now. After 50 years of her reporting, suddenly she's been vilified and forced to retire just at this precise moment. It's quite convenient.
She was always, you know, I guess, you know, you could call her kind of the cranky old lady in the front row, but she was the only one who had the guts to call all these puppets on their repeated garbage. You know, I love when she would ask simple questions of like, so when are you going to get out of Afghanistan? So why are we there? And of course, we hear the babbity-babbity-ba and the talking points. And of course, interestingly enough, forcing Obama to show his true colors and say, oh, 9/11, that's the reason. It's all the reason. That's the blank check, my friends. James, do you have any last take on this before we move on to our third story?
Just that Iran is something shaping up, and we'll have to keep our eye on it, and I'll be talking about it this Sunday on my podcast.
Okay. So our third story, which again has multiple levels that tie into it, but we're going to start it off from sovereignindependent.com. G8, G20 security costs could reach $900 million. Security for the G8, G20 summits will cost taxpayers close to $1 billion. Supplementary estimates released by Parliament this past Tuesday indicate federal government will spend $654 million on security on top of the $179 million announced in March for a total of $833. Total figures greatly exceeds some published media estimates of the overall cost. In fact, the government anticipates the final cost could exceed $900+ million, meaning that the cost of providing security to world leaders meeting for a few days near Huntsville and then Toronto will cost about as much as was believed to be spent for security during the two-week-long Vancouver Olympic Games. The RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, which is deploying thousands of officers to the events, is to get the lion's share of the funding, followed by Public Safety Department, followed by Department of National Defense. James, these meetings are coming very soon. The G20 is the 26th and 27th of this month, June 2010. And something interesting that you supplied to me tying in with this, if we jump over to the CBC, Ontario police track suspicious fertilizer purchase, searching for a man who bought 1,600+ kilograms of ammonium nitrate in Lincoln, Ontario. This article, of course, wasting no opportunity to reference Timothy McVeigh and the ammonium nitrate truck that was apparently parked at an army base weeks before the OKC bombing. But we can't get into all that right now. Of course, your most recent episode even returns to the OKC story, and CorbettReport.com has been doing great coverage of the official conspiracy theory of OKC lately. So we just want to tie this in to the fear-mongering and the media memes that they put out there, this homegrown terrorism, ammonium fertilizer purchases, and they sort of set the stage. Lastly, tying in with all these things swirling around in this month of June, my good friend Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero Media, his most recent episode on KUFO 101.1 FM here in Portland, Oregon, Project Blackjack, a push from an invisible hand. He returns to now what's coming up, the one-year anniversary of Operation Blackjack. James, I know you and I both cover that in great detail. What essentially turned out to seem like some sort of hoax is again replete with just the predictive programming and all the sort of sinister forces and suspicious elements. So again, folks, we just want to put this on the record for you. And all the things we reference, as always, all the documentation and the links will be provided for you in the show notes. And we, as always, say, don't take our word for any of this. Go check it out for yourself. James?
Well, another extremely interesting story, and one that ties in with what we saw leading up to the Vancouver Olympics this year as well, with that fertilizer that suddenly went missing. Very strange story indeed, and one that's at least justifies the $900 million they're spending on security so that they can act like they're some sort of big terrorist threat to this summit, but we'll have to keep our eye on that as well. Who knows? It could be another OKC in the works. You never know. So just more things to keep our eye on. But speaking of keeping our eye on things, I understand you were our man on the scene in Santa Clara for a recent conference. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, just real quick, I went to the 10th Annual Conspiracy Conference in Santa Clara, California. Had an amazing time. I got to interview so many folks. And those interviews and recordings, exclusive, sort of man on the street, and in addition to just talking to some of the regular attendees, in the course of about a day and a half, I got to interview Jordan Maxwell, Dr. Michael Kaufman, Tex Mars, Anthony Hilder, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, Stan Monteith, Michael Tesserian, Richard Gage, and tons more. All those interviews are all now available. They're at the top of MediaMonarchy.com. I really want to get those out for folks because I think it gives a great kind of overview of some of the things going on. And again, we say the word conspiracy, but that's a double-edged sword. There were really no conspiracy theories at this conference. It was conspiracy fact. whether that's health or war or surveillance or all the things that we're facing. So, James, thanks so much for letting me reference that. And again, folks, I implore you to check out those interviews.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I hope everyone will. It's very exciting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.